This morning we're going to start. We're going to have a couple questions this morning that I'd like for you just to answer to yourselves. But we want to start out with asking ourselves, do we understand, as a believer, do we understand that what we show on the outside, meaning our outward appearance of obedience to God, do we understand that? Or do we just show what we think everybody else wants to see? How can I make myself look good in the Lord to those around me? And the reason I ask this question is because a lot of times as believers, we get so wrapped up in conforming. Now listen to this. Now pay attention. Okay. Which one am I supposed to say? Pay attention or listen. Okay. Well, so listen to this or pay attention. So we get so wrapped up sometimes in the traditionalism, I'm going to use that word, of the promises and the commandments of God's word, that we're not a happy Christian anymore. We're not willing. We don't have that desire. We're not excited to get out and to go to church. We're not excited to get out and do those things for the Lord, because I'm busy trying to be a believer or show others that I'm a believer, that myself, I've forgotten how to be joyful as a believer. So when we look at our, we've lost that inward characteristic or that inward attitude, because we're no longer humbly listening to God. We're doing all the right things. We're doing the work of the Lord, but for some reason we're just not happy doing it. So we're living a life that is more surrendered to our personal desires than we are surrendering ourselves to our faith and our trust in God. So every day of our life, we should, if nothing else, if you don't say nothing else to the Lord when you get out of bed of a morning, just get up and look to the Lord and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Doesn't matter what it is, because God's speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit, just get up and say yes. With a willing desire, whatever it is, yes. And if we would begin to do that, if we would start our day like that, then we would find out that these choices that we're making would come from a heart that is submissive to the Holy Spirit. A heart that has a willing desire to conform to the image and the likeness of Christ. And that's what God wants for us in our life. He wants nothing more for us than to enjoy our salvation and to show that salvation to others so that others might see and want the same thing. Want that as part of their life. So in the book of Luke, we're going to read a couple scriptures here this morning. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, here's what he said. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him..." Now you can pay attention to this because I'm reading this. Pay attention to this. Christ said this. He said, "Let him deny himself." Deny himself. "Take up his cross daily," every day, not just on Sunday morning when you go to church, if you make it to church on Sunday morning, "every day, and follow after me." Follow after Christ. So that means every day as a believer, God wants us to live in the image and the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. So could we say, look, we could just back up to this morning when you got up, our whole morning, have we lived in the image and the likeness of Christ? Would God be pleased with everything that we've done so far this morning? And don't say yes because I got up and got ready and come to church. Because you might have done that, but there might not have been no joy in your heart when you done it. There might not have been a desire in your heart to do it. It's just Sunday and that's what we do. God wants more from us than that. He wants us to surrender, not to our own will, not to our own desires, not to our own selfish ambition, but He wants us to align whatever it is we're going to do. He wants us to align that with His purpose, with His plan for our life. He wants us to embrace the challenges that we are going to go through in our life. He wants us to embrace them through Him because He wants to give us the chance to endure those things. Now, there's going to be sacrifice, there's going to be suffering, and we know that, but we can endure that. We can go through that in our life if we'll only embrace the things that God wants us to do in our life. So our ongoing commitment is to follow after the teachings, and we learn from the Word of God. And as we learn those things, then God's going to bring us into a deeper, a more spiritual, mature fulfillment in Him, a life that is rooted and grounded in Christ. Do we live every day a life that is rooted and grounded in Christ? And I would be the first one to say no. Because we don't always live the way that God wants us to live. So in the book of Acts, I'm going to read you this story. I'm not a storyteller, y'all know that. But I'm going to read you this story. It's a few verses, but we're not going to talk about all of them. But I'm going to read you this story. And what I want you to come to understand is, what does it take to have a heart of submission to God? What does it take on our part? What must we do in our life to be able to do this? So in the book of Acts, chapter 8, starting with verse 26, here's what it says. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. So he said, Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you read? Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I understand except some man should guide me or explain it to me or let me know exactly what this is all about? And he said, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. I could preach on that for a week. So opened he not his mouth in his, and we're not going to preach on that today. In his humility, you're going, whew. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, who this is, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they went their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water, what doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So we're going to pick out two or three things down through here and just talk about them for a moment. And the first one that I want to bring to our attention is, it says the angel of the Lord spoke. So the in our life, how do we get our direction to do whatever it is God wants us to do? We get it. The Holy Spirit speaks to us normally through the Word of God. And the first thing that He says is He said, arise and go. meaning we've got to be active in our salvation. We've got God to have something for us to do. We got to get up and go. And he said that Philip got up and he went. So one of the first things that we've got to understand is that what is God's plan for all of mankind? God's plan for all of mankind is that the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ will be spread throughout the whole world and accepted. Now we are that. We are Philip. Every day we are told to arise and go. Lord, my back hurts today. I don't know if I can make it today. Or I'm sick, or my car won't start. So excuse after excuse after excuse. But Philip, and the angel told him where he was going. He said, Philip, you're going to get up, you're going to go, and you're going to the desert. The place that Lord, why do I have to go to the desert? That's like God telling Jonah to go to Nineveh. Why do I have to go there? And God said, because this is where my plan and purpose is for you. So he said that he arose and he went. So the difference between us and God is God has no boundaries. God sets no limits. No, he doesn't live by man-made rules and regulations. He doesn't care what your nationality is. He doesn't care what religion you claim. He don't care what denomination you say you go to, what church it is. God does not set boundaries. He just says, here, we all need to hear about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, we set boundaries. Oh, I could never go to that church down. That's a Pentecostal church. I couldn't walk in the door. That's what makes the difference. Everybody was created by God. What the Methodist church, the Baptist church, it doesn't matter. But we set boundaries. So therefore, we are limiting ourselves to the things that God has in store for us to do in our life. And God does not want us to limit ourselves. And if we will not limit ourselves, then he said, my spirit will prepare you to go. I will prepare you to go, and I will ensure that. See, that's the next thing. Lord, you won't. I just wouldn't know what to say. Lord, if I go in there, then people just look at me and I just don't know. He says, if I prepare you to go, then I'll give you the message that I want you to speak. So Philip, he's getting Philip ready to go. So he's in our life, he's getting us ready to go. If you go over into the book of 1 Timothy, let's jump over there real quick for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And this is all part of what God wants us to do. He says, here's what's good and acceptable in the sight of the Lord God our Savior. That was verse 3. Who will have all men to be saved. And then once we're saved, so you don't quit there. He said, once you're saved, then come to the knowledge of that truth. So we're saved. We belong to the Lord. We've accepted his saving grace. And that's where it ended. Now we don't understand what we got. So we've got to learn what it is that we need, this submissive heart, so that we might follow after the purpose and plan, the love that God has in store for us in our life. So we're going to learn compassion. We're going to learn what these desires that God has for us to be saved is all about. This is all about salvation. Everything that you see going on in the world today, there's many evangelists and prophets and people out there trying to explain everything that it's happened, but I can tell you why it's happened. It's all about salvation, and that's it. God is trying to get people to understand that without his saving grace, we're not going to heaven. So everything that we do has to be all about salvation. So he wants us, he's trying to prepare us, and he wants to make sure that we have this desire, a desire that is without excuse, a desire that is without exception. He doesn't want us to become complacent in our life in Christ. And what do I mean by becoming complacent? Are we complacent believers? Sure we are. Sure we are. Just take our, Nancy and I was, my wife and I, better not call her Nancy. My wife and I was talking about this yesterday, and our granddaughter, who's 9 years old, last Sunday, I think we sung three or four songs or something, and my granddaughter said, well, how come we sang this many songs? We usually only sing two. We're complacent in our service. We do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Why? Because we're just not joyful. We don't have that willing desire to do something different. Well, maybe when you come to church next Sunday morning, the Lord says instead of singing a congregational song, one of you stand up and sing a song. Any volunteers? Yeah, that's what I thought. We'll just be complacent next Sunday too. So we get that way in our Christian life, and when we do, we get comfortable in that, and now we don't want to do the other things that God has in store for us to do. So we're not using our time wisely, even though we think we are. Lord, tomorrow I'm going to do this. I've got this all broken down, everything that I'm going to do for you. And God's probably tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I don't want you to do any of that tomorrow. I have my own agenda for you. Won't you ask me what it is? So God has things in store for us that we never understand or realize in our life because we never ask. We don't get up of a morning and just say, yes, Lord. Back to Acts chapter 8. Verses 29 and 30. Here's what he says. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go and join thyself to this chariot. And what did it say Philip done? He ran. He was excited. How many of you this morning when you got up to go to church had such an excitement that if you went out and the car would not start, you would just say, thank you, Lord, grab your Bible and start walking to the church? Do we have any takers? No. So Philip was excited. Where's the excitement? We need that enthusiasm in our life. We need that enthusiasm to make the choice to remove ourselves. Let me go to 2 Timothy here. Let me go there a minute. Let me read you a verse of scripture in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Here's what it says. If a man therefore will purge himself, meaning get rid of these things, these things in our life, these lustful, spiritual, worldly, emotional desires, if we would get rid of those things, then he said, here's what he'll become. He'll become a vessel unto honor, meaning unto God, one that is sanctified, one that is meet for the master's use, meaning ready, and then am prepared unto every good work. Isn't that exciting? Philip had this, because when God told him to go, he ran. He said, yes, Lord, I'm excited to go join myself to this person, and in whatever way that the Holy Spirit leads me, explain to him what it takes to be born again. I'm excited to do that. And he said the only way that he could have done it is if we purge ourselves. If we understand the responsibility that we must choose to remove ourselves from the equation, take it clear out of the way so that God is the only one in there doing the work, so that we might become a usable vessel, so that we're He can encourage us through to pursue after His righteousness and not our own, so that we might be an instrument to do the work that He has for us to do and be excited about doing it. Yes, Lord, you want me to go to church Sunday morning and sing? I'll sing. You want me to go to church Sunday morning and read a Bible verse? I'll read a Bible verse. You want me to go to church Sunday morning and do this or do that? I'm ready. Just let me be a part of whatever it is you have for me to do. Ain't none of this calling around and taking a vote and say, okay, who's going to lead church this morning? Who's going to do the Sunday school lesson? Who's going to preach? Who's going to do this? You know, at our church, I just automatically have to do it, so I don't get a choice. But we should be excited to do it. I'd be thrilled to death if somebody stood up and said, hey, I think the Lord wants me to teach Sunday school today. Any volunteers for next Sunday? Okay, we got one. So this is what we're looking at, is our willing desire to do what God has for us to do. Back in Acts chapter 8, verses 35, here's what he said. Then Philip opened his mouth. And now Philip was being led by the Spirit of God, and he could not go wrong, and you cannot go wrong either if we do the same thing. He said, Philip opened his mouth and he preached Jesus. You know, when Paul was being ridiculed about some of the things that he had done, he said, well, I'll just put a stop to all this right now, because he said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified, and that's it. I'm not going to tell you have to have this, you have to have this, you have to have. The only thing I'm going to tell you have to have in order to go to heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen. To believe upon the name of Christ. To believe in the crucifixion, what He'd done for us on the cross. To believe in the resurrection. That this is what gets us to heaven. And once we have accepted that into our life, now we begin to learn a little bit about what it's all about, so that I can continue to preach unto others Jesus. No doctrine, no rules, no regulations, just Jesus. You know, the entirety of the Word of God is centered upon what or who? Jesus. So why would we preach anything else? Do you have to study the Old Testament? Sure you do, because the Old Testament preaches what? Jesus. It preaches about a Messiah who must come, must suffer, and that will bring salvation. The New Testament, the new covenant that we have, it preaches about the fulfillment of that. The Messiah that did come. He was crucified so that He might pay our sin debt and give unto us His righteousness, so that we might have this relationship with God. That's what it's all about. So, as mankind, everyone is offered this. Not everyone accepts it, but everyone is offered this. And once we have accepted, then we are offered the meaning of it. Meaning, he now wants to show us or give us an understanding of what this is all about. And if you jump on right on down to verse 37 in that passage of Scripture, he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, he asked the eunuch if he did. And he talked, because the eunuch said, well, what about being baptized? So this was Philip's way of explaining that to him. He said, you know, anybody can be baptized by water. Is that going to get you to heaven? No, it's just going to get you wet. But he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, and it said he answered and said unto him, I believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, if nobody's ever heard you say that as a believer, how are you going to get them to say it? How? How are they going to... They need to look at your life. And they need to be able to see Christ. They need to be able to see, even if you don't open your mouth, they need to be able to see each one of us preaching Jesus. But not always do we preach Jesus because we allow the world to overcome us. Sometimes we just allow church to get in the way. The traditional things that we do at church, that we're doing the work of the Lord, but if we're not doing it joyfully, if we're not doing it willingly, if we're not doing it with the desire that God wants us to do it, we're just doing it and not preaching Jesus at all. You know, there's a lot of churches today, if you talk to them and say, hey, you know, big congregations, thousands and thousands of people, and is souls being saved? What's that? Because we're not preaching Jesus. We're preaching everything else, but not Jesus. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, here's what it says. For though I preach the gospel... I'm trying to decide to say whether listen or pay attention. I just say both. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing of myself to glory of. Because it's not me. So I don't want to stand up here and just do it. But I want to make sure that I do it for the Lord. Because he says, for of necessity... it's laid upon me, but woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. See what he said? He said, even though I preach the gospel, and I do because it's the necessity that was given unto me to do, let's just say it's my calling. I don't want to say my job. I've heard so many preachers saying, oh, Saturday, well, I got to go home and go to bed early because I got to get up and go to work in the morning. If church is work, you're going for the wrong reason. So he said, I know it's a necessity, but he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Meaning, if I don't preach Jesus. If I don't let others know or show the excitement of what salvation is truly all about. And sometimes the reason that we don't do it, and let me make this statement. You know, every life is meaningful, and every life is important to God. So everyone that we are an example to, we have to understand God brought you to that point in your life. He brought me to that point in my life because that life is meaningful. That life is important to God, and that life has purpose. And if we don't see it, then we preach the gospel, but we're not really preaching the gospel. Because we're not concerned. But we think we're doing the work of the Lord, but actually we're not doing the work of the Lord. So did you know, and do I know and understand, that our lives as believers is the... write this down. Our life as believers is the fulfillment of God's divine purpose here upon this earth. Did you understand that? No, I don't want to understand it because that means I have to take some kind of responsibility here, and I don't want that. But that's what it's all about. Our life is that fulfillment. And it can only become a fulfillment if we're active in our relationship with Christ. You know, the Old Testament, it spoke of a coming Messiah. But in order for that to happen, there had to be a fulfillment. And that's what Christ done. He was active in that fulfillment. Our life is the same way today. If we're active in our work for the Lord as a believer, our life now has begun to take shape and has become a fulfillment of the divine characteristics of God. We are a reflection of God. How well do we reflect God? But we are that reflection of God. Therefore, if we are living a life that is lived through Jesus Christ for the fulfillment of His divine purpose, then we are living a life that is not wasted. And you know, I think about this every night. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry for the times of my life that I wasted. For not running into the purpose and plan that He has for me. And you know what God says? He says, it's forgiven.
Amen.
But don't continue.
Yes.
Let me help you. Let me help you to live the remainder of your life the way I want you to live it. So we find that being truthful becomes a satisfaction that gives us lasting purpose and peace of mind. And you'll not find it anywhere else, only in God.
Amen.
If you're turning to anything else, it's just not going to be there. So that means in order for me to live with a heart of submission, in order for me to fulfill my daily calling in the Lord, in order for me to experience every day the hope of my eternal life with God, I have to pray that I live with a submissive heart every day. I have to get up every day and not say, what is it you want me to do today, Lord? But before that even comes about, I just need to get up and say, yes, Lord. Now tell me what it is. I'm ready to go. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the things that You teach us. We're so thankful, Lord, that You allow us daily opportunities, even though when we don't always accept them, You continue to work with us, Lord. You show us Your love, Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion. And You help us to see those things that You would have us, what You would have us to be in our life as we live here upon this earth. And we just pray this day, Lord, that we would strive. Lord, that we would willingly seek after those things that You have in store for us in our life. And that, Lord, most of all, we would show others what the way of salvation is truly all about. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we leave this place and go out into the world, that you would help us to become more in the likeness of your Son Christ, so that we might always let our light so shine before others that they would see the good works of your salvation within each and every one of us. And we would pray, Lord, that we, that willing desire that you've given to us, that we would uphold that in our life, Heavenly Father, and continue to do those things that are pleasing unto thee. We pray once again, Lord, that you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Do we have a song this morning?
383.
If you're here this morning and don't know the Lord, if you're here this morning and have a need or a burden, then we would certainly invite you to come and pray, because only He can fulfill that in your life. What was that again?
383.
1st evening, Bible study will be here at 6 o'clock. We're starting chapter 3 of Revelation. Come out. We're going to try to get through these, not Thursday, but we're going to try to get through these last three churches so we can move on to our other book. I hope everybody's got one of the purple books. If not, holler. We'll make sure you get one. And we're going to move on to something a little bit different. Anybody else?
There is a huge framed chart over on a table in the fellowship hall. It, help me, Chris, it's the from the beginning of time, chronological, through the Bible.
Yeah.
It's laying over there. It was gifted to me. I'm gifting it to the church. Really interesting.
Yes.
Quite fascinating. I mean, just
it is. Yeah.
You could just
it is. Some of you from Mount Lebanon, it's the big
Same big chart that's on our wall. Ours isn't round. It's long, but it's it is really, there's a lot of good stuff on it.
Warning, start on it
yeah.
an hour later.
Yeah, yeah, you're still working on it. Okay, Debbie.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.